What is the sermon series we've been going through, church? Anybody recall? The gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, we've been talking about those in the last couple parts of the sermon series where we've been talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And it's been rather edifying for myself. I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying it. And it's been speaking into my life, and it's created more of a hunger to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit daily, and to desire more of the Holy Spirit work in my life. And today we're going to continue with part five of the sermon series, The Holy Ghost. And today I want to talk to you about is how do we as believers live the Spirit-filled life? What does it look like in our life? How do we maximize it, you could say, walking in the Spirit? But a little recap on some important scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit and kind of what we've gone through to get to part five here. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, verse 16, 17, said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit as a helper here, the paraclete, the counselor, and the promise that he will come and he will dwell in you, be with you forever. Then in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus is saying that it's good for him to ascend back into heaven to the right hand of the Father so that the Holy Spirit can be sent. And that is good because the Holy Spirit can be with every single believer around the globe at one time. Jesus was fully God and fully man. Therefore, he was restricted as in the body of a man to be at one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit does not have that restriction. He is with the church, with the believers globally, and he dwells in us as we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses of Christ. He empowers us with spiritual gifts to serve the church, to serve the world, to make it a better place. In Acts chapter 2, it happens. The Bible says, Acts 2, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance." The Spirit-filled life, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What I want to talk to you today is about how do we live the Spirit-filled life? What does it look like? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What is it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Let's look at a couple of very important sections in Scripture. The first one is from Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles with you, who has their Bibles with them? Who has their Bibles? All right. I see some physical Bibles even being held. Awesome. If you have your Bibles on the phone, that's great. If you have your Bibles, physical books, that's wonderful. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and what Paul writes, verse 16 to 17. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So I say, walk by the Spirit. Everybody say, walk by the Spirit. Didn't hear you. Say, walk by the Spirit. He said, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Who's wearing their flesh today? Who's got their flesh on? I think we all got a body, right? Every one of us here are in the flesh. What are the desires of the flesh? Galatians continues in verses 19, 20, and 21. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. The desires of the flesh are opposite of the spiritual fruit. What are the spiritual fruit? Galatians goes on in verse 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And back to verse 17, it says, for the desires of the flesh, that means our sinful nature. The desires of the flesh means our sinful flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Those of you who are believers, when you were spiritually born again, when you trusted Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to receive salvation and eternal life, you're spiritually renewed, you're spiritually born again. You encounter the very real presence of the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in you, and you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you put your faith into Jesus, you surrender your life to His Lordship, the Holy Spirit moved into your life. And some of us, we may look at other Christians and be like, that person seems so much closer, so much nearer to God. They seem to walk in more power. They seem to have so much more faith. They seem to overcome sin more easily, not be entangled into sin and fleshly desires. When they pray, they seem so connected to God. Why is that I struggle so much? And they seem to have this power, this faith, this victory in their lives. The reality is that simply they are more yielded to the Holy Spirit than you are. They are walking by the Spirit, not in the flesh. They may have learned to be more filled by the Spirit, yielding under the power of the Holy Spirit, because your fleshly nature, my selfish desires, my sinful nature, is at war against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Spirit leads us to do the right things, the things that please God. And our flesh says what? The opposite. I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do. But the Holy Spirit says no. Walk in the Spirit. You see, there's a battle going on within us, in our hearts, in our minds. I'm sure many of you have heard the old analogy used by Bible teachers, that there's a battle going on, like two dogs, a black dog and a white dog, and they're an ongoing battle against each other. Which one of those dogs do you think will win the ongoing battle? The black dog or the white dog? The one that you feed most will win, because they will be strengthened. So if you ever see someone that seems to have more power, it could very simply be that they are feeding off the Holy Spirit. They're walking in step with the Spirit. They're spending more time in the Word. They're spending more time in prayer. They're spending more time with the Holy Spirit. They're spending more time attending church, being with believers, gathering, encouraging one another, building one another up. They're spending time serving in the church. They're spending time in the kingdom of God. It's already here and through the Holy Spirit in us, in the church, people. Think about that. It's so wonderful. It is the fact that they have learned to become more yielded to the life and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is very much in us as believers in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Now this verse, this next verse I want to share with you just kind of rocks my world. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. Ephesians 5, 15 to 18, Paul says this. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Who here looks carefully how you walk in your spiritual life? Good. It's look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. How do you use your time? Therefore, do not be foolish. Nobody wants to be foolish, right? But understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, here's the key. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say, filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Come on, church, I can't hear you. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine. Be filled by the Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine, which will ruin your life. The Bible uses the word debauchery. What does debauchery mean? Excessive, unrestrained indulgence in physical or sensual pleasures. We see that so much in the world. People are just indulging it, self-indulging their flesh. And it is destroying and ruining their lives. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting if we go back to the verse in Acts chapter 2 where the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in other tongues. And what do some of the God-fearing Jews say? They're drunk, right? The God-fearing Jews thought they were drunk. Paul makes this very clear comparison saying, don't be drunk, but instead be filled with the Spirit. When someone is drunk, what do people say in the technical term? They basically say they are under the influence, right? That's a technical term for being drunk. You're under the influence. When someone is drunk, they are under the influence of alcohol. There is something else that is controlling them. They are under the power. They are under the influence. They are being controlled by alcohol. What happens when you're under the influence of alcohol? Not from firsthand experience. I've only read books about it, right? Of course. When you're under the influence of alcohol, you think differently. You act differently. You talk differently. You make decisions differently. When you're under the influence of alcohol, you have different thoughts. You speak different words. You have different behaviors. Don't be under the influence of alcohol, but be filled with the Spirit. You could say, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. When you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, what will happen? You will think differently. You will talk differently. You will act differently when you're under the power of the Holy Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit, and you will be under the influence, the same Spirit, get this, the same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Spirit of God, Don't be drunk, be filled by the Holy Spirit. Now let's be honest. Why do many people drink alcohol? What's the main reason? The answer is to get an effect, right? Buzzed or drunk. Why do people get drunk? Some people get drunk because they want the comfort, the feeling of what alcohol gives them. There are so many problems that I've heard people say that they have. When I get drunk, I feel comforted and I feel at ease and my problems seem to disappear. Because honestly, they may not say it, but they could say alcohol comforts them. Other people, when they get drunk, they do it because it gives them confidence. Who's heard this term, liquid courage, before? I think we have. Many of us have. You know, guys, we're going out. Okay, I'm going to drink a bunch of beer because it will make me attempt something that I would never, ever wouldn't do otherwise. It helps me loosen up. You see a guy who drinks enough and all of a sudden he starts looking at girls that would never, ever have anything to do with him. He starts to think, hey, she's checking me out. He says to his buddy, watch this, and he actually thinks that she will go out with him. She won't, but the alcohol gives him confidence to attempt things that he would never do otherwise. Liquid courage. But then, when he gets hooked, he'll do anything it takes to get another drink. Because he loves being under the influence of some other substance. It's not just alcohol, it could be drugs as well. It can be something, sensual pleasures like pornography as well. Things of this world, things of the flesh. It's interesting how a substance in this world is a very bad counterfeit of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. When you're hurting, instead of getting drunk, getting lost in the bottle to ease the pain, as so many people do when they're depressed and hurting, you can go to someone who is much, much better. The comforter, the helper, the counselor, the paraclete, God, the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God who can comfort you in your hardships, whose presence can give you peace that goes beyond any human understanding and ability, or even comprehend the very presence of God in the Spirit form, in the Holy Spirit, who can at this moment can bring you every bit of comfort that you may need. You may say, well, I don't drink to give me confidence or to try something I can't do. No, check this out. When you're under the influence of the Spirit, alcohol may give you the confidence to attempt something you couldn't do, but the Holy Spirit will what? He will give you the ability to do what you cannot do in the form of spiritual gifts, empowerment, supernatural gifts from God on high, what we talked about last week in 1 Corinthians 12. Supernatural gifts given to every believer to serve the church and to make a difference in this world, to live better lives, holy lives that are pleasing to God. Supernatural gifts that will enable you to do what you could not do without the Spirit. And then when you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit, just like a drunk, you'll do anything for more of the Holy Spirit. When you truly experience the Holy Spirit in you, you will do anything to get more of the Spirit. You will thirst for more of Him. You will hunger for more of God. You will desire to be close to Him, to be in His presence, to be filled with His power, to be transformed by His goodness, to understand His comfort, His guiding, and His power to give you hope in a hopeless world. And the gifts and the fruits that will move in you and through you so you can live a supernatural life in this very natural world. Don't be drunk on wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now in the church world, there is so much debate over this. At the moment of salvation, do you experience all of the Holy Spirit, or is there a second blessing, as some call it or refer to it? If you're in church circles long enough, you see there's a tremendous debate that there's a second blessing, a second filling. There's a filling and a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all of this debate on and on and on. What is the initial sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? And if it's only tongues and you've never been baptized by the Holy Spirit, to me it's very simple. Because whether there's one or two or three or four baptisms or hundreds, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit is a continual and progressive filling of the Holy Spirit. The most literal translation for be filled with this present tense verb is to continually be filled, continue being filled, to be filled and continued to be filled. It's a continual ongoing work of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life to sanctify them, to make them more Christ-like, and to empower them to ministry. It is nonstop, ongoing, progressive work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. You see, after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, and we read something that often doesn't get talked much about. In John chapter 20, verse 22, the Bible says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This receiving of the Holy Spirit is about salvation. It's about commissioning the disciples to do the work of the church. Romans 8, 9 says, "And you, however, are not in the flesh, but in what? In the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." And Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." See, when we read the book of Acts, we continually see the disciples, the believers, the church, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. And they speak in tongues, and they prophesy, and they're empowered to do ministry. And the church needs this still today. We have a group of Samaritans believers in Acts chapter 8. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed. They had been baptized by the baptism of John in water in the name of Jesus. Let's read what happens. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. "Now when the disciples at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God," that is the gospel, the word of God, "they sent them Peter and John. And he came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." You see, Peter and John were sent to the Samaritans so they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. It's not just that one-time event that we just are baptized once and we're never filled and have the Holy Spirit upon us. In Acts chapter 4, after the early church, believers were persecuted, thrown in jail, and let out. They were told not to witness about Jesus to anyone else. What did they do? Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." When we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not a matter about salvation, but about empowerment for ministry, to live a Spirit-empowered life. They're not competing doctrines, church. They're complementing ones. The purpose is different. When you confess faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us, and we're given a new birth, born again, makes us children of God, producing the fruit of the Spirit in us, assures us of salvation, seals us as belonging to Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit upon us, the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers us to live holy lives, empowers us to witness, empowers us to give us boldness, distributes supernatural spiritual gifts, and it enables us for effective ministry in this world. Jesus didn't tell his disciples to wait in Jerusalem because they weren't saved. Yes, they were saved. They fully believed who Jesus was and what he had done on the cross for them. He told them to wait because they had not been clothed with power by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Should we desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Should you desire to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely, you should. Every single believer in the church should be asking, desiring to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are more spiritual gifts available for you. There is an abundance of spiritual fruit available to you. There is more power available for you. There is a more sanctified work for your life and ministry. And it is through this continual and progressive work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Some of you, you need to be baptized in the Spirit. You're not being filled enough. I can put my hand up and say, I'm not being filled enough. I desire to be baptized in the Spirit. I was praying in my car this morning on the way to church. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with the Spirit. Empower me to preach this morning for your glory and the edification of the church. So it would not be of me, but of you. We need the Holy Spirit upon us, church. We need to take another drink of the Spirit, to drink him in. How do you do it? Open up his word. Close your eyes. Talk to God. Ask him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Ask him to fill you. Pray with other Christians. Have church leaders lay hands on you to pray for you. Sing a song of worship. Be aware of his presence. Pray with your family. Use your gifts for the glory of God. There are countless ways to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, it is time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is time to be filled with the Holy Spirit and less of the flesh in our lives. Don't get drunk on wine, but be filled and continually, ongoingly be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. What kind of difference will it make in your life? I want to share with you a little bit about my story, my life. I used to love partying. That's what I lived for. Work during the week, weekends was about partying. Drinking, doing drugs. Then it was back to work. That was what my life in my late teens, early 20s revolved around. I used to love going to raves. Have anybody heard what a rave is? Lots of loud music, techno music, everyone dancing, jumping around, and no one's in their right mind. It's at this place that God chose to speak to me in my heart. I wasn't in my right mind. I remember I looked down, my shoelace was untied. I was walking in a hallway. I bend over to tie my shoelace and I just hit my head on the handrail there. And for some reason, I don't know if it was for God had just to clear my thoughts at that moment, I hit my head. He spoke into my life. He spoke into my heart. He said, Yarno, if you continue down this road, it will lead to your complete and total destruction. I had never had such fear in my heart. I found my friend who was sober that night. I asked him, could you drive me home? He took me home. It was in my bedroom that I got on my knees and repented of my sins and asked God to forgive me and to move into my life. I gave him everything, not holding back any area of my life. You see, God had broken me down to a point where there was no joy, no purpose in my life. I had tried to find self-fulfillment in relationships and work, making money and partying, all these worldly, fleshly things you could say. And I was ready to give it all to him. I surrendered all to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. I repented, turned to Christ. Guys, when I woke up that next morning, my life was transformed. It was like I was a different person. I had different desires in my heart. I thought different things. My roommate was wondering, what is going on with this guy? He's not the same. The Holy Spirit had taken residence in my heart. He had transformed me. I started attending CLA, Christian Life Assembly in Langley. And these was in the early days of the Freedom and Fire meetings. Did anybody go to those CLA meetings? It was Awesome. Those are awesome meetings. And it was in the very early stage. It wasn't the full-blown revival yet, but God was beginning to move. And people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit. People were being just overcome by the Holy Spirit. They were falling down. They were speaking in tongues. God was moving. You could sense the presence. People were just praising God. People were being saved. I started having the desire, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Spirit as well. And every single meeting, I believe it was about five meetings, I'd go to the front to be prayed over for and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It just wasn't happening. People around me, I remember looking, were falling and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? Why am I not being baptized? But rather than giving up and turning around and saying, forget it, I pressed in. I said, Lord, I want this baptism. I want to be overcome by the Holy Spirit. I need it. I want more of you. I was thirsting for God more than ever before. It was during worship on the balcony. I think it was like the fifth row back from the balcony. And I was just praying and worshiping. And all of a sudden, I just felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. It was whoosh. And it was overpowering. And I fell back in my bench there. And I began to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit had come upon me. The Lord had heard my prayers. It didn't take anybody laying their hands on me. It was just seeking for more of the Lord and asking Him. And this just empowered me. And it motivated me, encouraged me to press more and more on in the Lord, find out what His will is for my life. And He began to lead my life in a clear direction. I met my wife, Lisa, in this church. I was attending CLA, and I remember the Lord just spoke to my heart, said, Yarno, go back to that finished church. I was thinking, Lord, back to the finished church in Vancouver? I live in Langley, all that way? Why? He said, just go. And I had been praying for a wife, a godly woman. He said, just go. I remember driving on the highway, number one, on the way here, arguing with the Lord, saying, Lord, why are you sending me to a church that's just full of old people? Because if you know our Finnish side of the congregation, it's very elderly, like it is to this day. But guess what? When I walked in through those side fellowship hall doors, guess who was on stage leading worship? My wife, Lisa. Not then wife, but now wife. And I said, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing here. I started volunteering, attending, and serving at the church to, there was kind of alternate motives there, you know, to get to know Lisa, but I wanted to serve the church and repay the Lord for His guidance and started serving the church and being involved with the youth group. Got married with my wife, Lisa, and we served together in the church, and that's when I started receiving the call to full-time ministry. I was working at a company called ACT, and I worked in the repair shop there, repairing pneumatic tools, hydraulic equipment, electrical tools, and there was a wash tank part of the workshop, and I it's a small room. You got a tank and a brush that flows this liquid through it, and there's a compressor, big compressor right next to me, so you had to wear these ear protection. That was my place of prayer. And I'd wash parts, and I'd talk to God, and He started laying on my heart, God, I'm calling you to work in my church. I shared this with Lisa, and we prayed about it together, and she felt, yes, this is a calling from the Lord, and we left to go to Bible school in Finland. We spent some time there and came back to Canada, and I did a summer internship here at this church, and after the internship was done, the church asked me to stay on here as a full-time employee, and I've never looked back. But the Holy Spirit began to equip me for ministry as well. I would never be up here behind a pulpit. I feared speaking in public. My speech is not the best. I fumble words and all kinds of, it was just a tremendous fear, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to do those that we cannot do in our own strength. He equips us, He teaches us, He gives us spiritual gifts that we can use for the edification of the church and to use for the glory of God. He empowers us, He calls us, He guides us. And guys, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit to edify the church, to serve one another, to make a difference in this world, to see the lost saved, to see God glorified. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our flesh. So if you have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, ask for it, pray about it. And I believe he will answer. There are some of you here today, and you know you're here because the Holy Spirit brought you to this moment so that you would understand the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is available to you. But we must yield to him. We must walk with him. We must be filled by him. We must not walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. I don't want to live a spiritless life, but a spirit-filled life. And I hope you do too. You can be filled with the power of God to live a supernatural life in a natural world. The Holy Spirit, guys, church, is wonderful news. The Holy Spirit is available to you. I want you to hear that. The Holy Spirit is available to you through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins so we can be washed clean of all sin and be made into his righteousness, that the Holy Spirit can come and take up residence in us. Change our hearts, change our thoughts, change our desires. And yes, we should ask for more of the Holy Spirit to be baptized, overcome by his presence, so that we can be empowered to do the work that he has called us to do. Be filled, continue being filled. Don't be drunk on anything this world offers, but be filled under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and you will never be the same. Let's pray. Father, Heavenly Father, we ask that in your presence, your Holy Spirit would do a supernatural work in our lives. Father, for everyone who is a believer, I pray, Father, that you would fill them, that they would be filled, that they would continually be filled with the presence and the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those who are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they would be baptized. Lord, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. Lord, create in us a thirst for you, a desire for you that overcomes everything else in our lives. This is a prayer for myself as much as for everyone else in this room. It is so easy, Father, to be distracted by the desires of this world, to be influenced by our flesh. Lord, create us a thirst in us for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that those living waters of the Spirit never dry out, but become a wellspring in us that we can drink deep of. And Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Hallelujah. I just sense that the Holy Spirit wants us to lead into a time of prayer with your neighbor, whoever's sitting next to you or close to you, someone that you feel comfortable with. Just pray over each other. Pray that the Holy Spirit would fill your brother, your sister who is next to you. Just take a moment right now. And Jackson, can I ask you to just come play piano? And let's be bold here. Let's pray for our neighbor.